Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. It's October 3rd. It's Tuesday night. And ideally, we are going to have a guest tonight. I talked to my proposed guest a little earlier this evening, and the producers are trying to get him on the line. He's very difficult to get on the phone, folks, but once you got him on the phone, you have a real prize there. So I'm not going to tell you who it is till I know he's going to be with us, because if we don't get him tonight, we'll get him some other night. Lots of big things in the news. It looks as though Russia and China are going to go along with President George W. Bush in the sanctions against Iraq. That's Iran. Sanctions against Iran. Now, if that's the case, folks, that's going to throw a lot of throw a wet blanket on the ideas of those who like to think that the communists are somehow going to ally with Iran against the United States. A lot of misunderstandings about what's going on in that part of the world, but needless to say, I think it's a very, very tragic thing that the United States is following the Zionist line and trying to stop the Islamic Republic of Iran from accessing nuclear power. But that is the policy of the Zionists, who are in control of the George W. Bush administration. And frankly, you know what, folks, there's very little we can do about it. But we can talk about it, and we can make people aware of it. And hopefully, in the future, there's going to be some way we can break the back of this monster. Well, I am pleased to tell you that we do have our guest here. I'm going to bring him up in a moment, and we have a break coming up, and all I need to say is his name, and you're going to know exactly who it is. He's the author of just so many important books that so many of us, both here in the United States, have read, books on controversial topics such as the New World Order, the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, Murder by Injection, and a very important book, A Writ for Martyrs, that explains precisely how criminal elements in the United States government work against law-abiding citizens who do one thing that seems to upset the powers that be, and that is speak out. And needless to say, I am talking about our guest, the one and only Eustace Mullins. Hello, Eustace. Well, Eustace is supposed to be there.
Hello.
There he is. All right. Thought we lost you there for a moment, Eustace.
I'm talking away here.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have a break coming up here in just about a minute, but I just wanted to make sure that you were on board before we continued. Eustace, I'm glad you could come on the program tonight. You indicated you might only be able to stay an hour, but if I can twist your arm after an hour, I'm going to try to do it. But we'll see how things work in any case.
Oh, yes.
I told you this is the just the second night of my the premiere of my two-hour broadcast. And, you know, I tell you, Eustace, I've done a lot of radio shows over the years like you have, but you know, when you're sitting behind a microphone and having to actually run the show, and you look at the clock and say, oh, my God, I got 2 hours ahead of me, it's like you just want to jump out the window.
Well, most of the shows I do go by awful fast.
Yeah, that's what amazes me. Even last night's program, we were on here. It just seemed like I had just started the show, and the next thing I knew, 2 hours was coming up, so in any case, we do have our first break coming up here, and then we'll be coming right back. So, ladies and gentlemen, and Eustace, stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You are listening on to this network because you can handle the truth. So stay tuned. You're going to get a lot of truth tonight from Eustace Mullins.
Digestive problems can be miserable. Get rid of acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, and excessive bloating naturally. Gastrinex is the wild and natural herbal support for all digestive problems. It's a powerful blend of herbs, spices, and enzymes to stop digestive problems quickly. For any digestive need, take Gastrinex. Call 800-243-5242 today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, this is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. Join Jeffrey Bennett and myself each day at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we'll give you the flip side of the day's financial and political news. Had Warren Buffett tuned in, he could have saved himself $1 billion. You see, Mr. Buffett bet against the dollar 2 years ago. Had he had chosen buying gold instead of foreign currency, he would have made $2 billion. Don't make the Buffett mistake. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898 and let us help you insure your wealth against dollar depreciation. For daily updates on the condition of the dollar, visit our website at republictradinggroup.com. Or as I said, just give us a call at 1-800-691-7898 and speak with Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call Republic Trading Group today at 1-800-691-7898. And thank you for your support of Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, with a very special guest, Eustace Mullins. Last night here on this program, I made the prediction that this current scandal surrounding former Congressman Mark Foley of Florida, Congressman Mark Foley of Florida, would catapult a congressman from your home state, a nice, observant, Orthodox Jewish boy named Eric Cantor, into the Republican leadership. He's already now the fourth ranking.
Oh, he rose very fast. He was nobody in Richmond, and suddenly the name Cantor was everywhere.
Right. Well, now he's fourth ranking member in the House of Representatives on the Republican side, and it looks like the two top men, the Speaker of the House and the House Majority Leader, are fighting back and forth over this. Do you think it's possible that we are going to have our first Jewish House speaker here in the next couple months?
Well, it's very possible. Cantor is certainly aiming for it, and he's gotten almost everything he wanted so far.
He's always gotten a lot of very good publicity here in the Washington, D.C. area, and they've been promoting him for a long, long time. So I think that's going to be the net effect of this scandal. But, you know, Eustace, you've been around the Washington, D.C. area on and off for a very, very long time, and you have seen how corruption and sexual shenanigans have been used to blackmail members of Congress and other politicians, and I wonder if you might want to reflect on any Any particular matters that might come to mind? I know you were telling me a little story about J. Edgar Hoover one day that I thought was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah, J. Edgar Hoover was quite a guy. He ruled through fear because he was afraid of everybody. You know, whenever I mentioned J. Edgar Hoover's name was mentioned when I first came to Washington in 1948, and I was hanging out at the National Press Club quite a bit because the founder, George Stimson, was a good friend of mine. He introduced me to everybody. And I noticed when a newspaper man ever mentioned J. Edgar Hoover's name, he kind of snickered. They wouldn't say anything, but they'd kind of snicker. And so I knew something odd was going on. But they wouldn't say anything about him at all. But they kind of looked like at you like you ought to know what's going on.
Okay.
And like everybody already knew it. So I got the picture pretty fast.
He managed to keep a lot of files and a lot of people and blackmail people himself. So, you know, I guess I wonder whatever happened to those files, Eustace. Have you ever heard anything to that effect?
All the Black Cabinet files were actually in the care of his secretary, and she died a few years later in Florida. And supposedly they were divided, the files were divided up among his worst enemies. Well, they could use them against each other.
What is that? There's a term for that. That's a Mexican standoff where you have a couple
different...
That's
a Mexican standoff, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's right. I mean, they have all these different groups that Hoover had kept his files on and everything. And you know, I commented that I figured this Congressman Foley was probably not a part of the club because... they decided to throw him to the wolves, but...
oh, yeah.
Yeah, what we're not hearing about is all the real shenanigans among so many others who for whatever reason, aren't getting their names in the papers.
Not at all. There's stuff going on all over Washington. You know, I used to eat breakfast with those pages at the Library of Congress every morning.
Oh, yeah, well, that's right. You would be right up here in Capitol Hill working at the library at that time, yeah.
Well, I went to the cafeteria because there wasn't any more place to eat early on Capitol Hill at that time. I got there at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then there were two tables that come in with these page boys, and I'd be sitting there eating my lunch. And they weren't loud or anything. They were very well-dressed. You know, they looked like prep school boys with white shirts and ties. And I could see where some of these politicians might be interested in them. I think they always were.
Yeah, I often, you know, as all these scandals have come up, you know, where, you know, of course, they added the female pages back in the, I think, probably in the early 1980s or something like that.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't much of a change at all. Things went on just about the same.
Well, what I often wondered is if they haven't deliberately set that page operation up there just to monitor the interaction of members of Congress with these young people. I mean, you know, we've heard stories time and again about all sorts of things going on Capitol Hill, you know. But I thought, you know, coming back to J. Edgar Hoover, you know, in my latest book, the Judas Goats, I have a very special page in that book. Reproducing an actual document that J. Edgar Hoover signed off on, in which he was actually proposing, he and his FBI associates, I think one of his Jewish associates, Alex Rosen, Eustace, they had a plan to put you in an insane asylum because they didn't like what you were saying about J. Edgar Hoover.
Well, that's right. J. Edgar Hoover called me the most dangerous man in America because he thought I was dangerous to him. I wasn't dangerous to anybody else.
But, tell the audience a little bit about that, Eustace, because it's kind of something that, you know, people see movies about things like this, but they never expect the possibility that something like this can happen in real life. And J. Edgar Hoover was supposed to be one of our great patriots.
Oh, he really was. He was anti-communist. And this famous picture of him with a machine gun, which he never fired, that went all over the world.
But he actually had this plan then to find any way he could to put you in an insane asylum.
Oh, there were 10 assistant directors of the FBI, each one of which is enormously powerful. And he notified the 10 assistant directors of the FBI that this was to be top priority to put Mullins in a mental institution. And, of course, I was in Chicago and knew nothing about any of this whatsoever.
Of course, the FBI was busy harassing a lot of your friends and associates, too, during this time. So that's something, you know, again, people thought that in those days that the FBI was going out after after communists and after bad men, but it turned out the FBI was going after writers like Eustace Mullins.
Well, and writers who would not like to, yeah. They went after Ernest Hemingway and Shirley Temple and people like that. I think he was always with an eye of publicity more than anything else. He wasn't really chasing anti-communists. And, in fact, they knew for years that the New York office of the FBI was loaded with communists because that's where the communists were. And so people began to needle him about these communists in the FBI office in New York. And it made him mad, and I wrote a letter to the newspaper about it once, and my local newspaper, and of course they forwarded it right to him, and he fired a hot letter back, and he says, Mullins will write anything about anybody, don't pay any attention to him. And so, I was noising it about that I was going to run for a senator from Virginia, because I was protege of H.L. Hunt at the time, who was the richest man in America. Or the world, I forget which, but anyway, he had money. And,
he had lots of money, in any case, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he never gave me a penny, so I didn't run for the Senate.
You know, the legend about H.L. Hunt was that he was a piggy bank for the right wings and the right wing and the patriots and the nationalists in America. But everyone who knew of H.L. Hunt. Said he never gave a penny to anybody, and yet the left wing and the Jewish organizations always said that H.L. Hunt was bankrolling all these different organizations, and nothing could have been further from the truth.
Oh no, I know for a fact he never gave a dime to anybody, because the thing was that if he ever gave any money to anybody, he'd get 1,800 calls the next morning from people wanting more money.
People who wanted more money. Exactly.
So that's why he wasn't being stingy. He just didn't want his doors being broken down by all of these supplicants and wanting money.
Which you can understand why, but on the other hand, you know, at the same time, as I say, it was always the legend that that's where the money was for the right wing, for the patriots, that there was this Texas billionaire, that there was this flamboyant image of this Texas billionaire who was the piggy bank for the quote-unquote extreme right, and of course, well, as we just said, nothing could have been further from the truth. So.
No, I happen to be right in the middle of it the whole time, and I know that I don't know of anybody that he ever gave a penny to. And he was resolved to leave all of his money to his family members, and he did exactly that. He died. Now, I don't know how much his money he was making, but at one time, Life magazine said he was making $1 million a week. And I asked him about that one time. I said, I saw that story in 1956 that you were making $1 million a week. And he said, well, that wouldn't touch it. He said, I was making $12 million a week at that time. They didn't know what they were talking about. So he had the money. There's no doubt about that.
He just wasn't parting with it like they said he did.
No. It didn't slip through his fingers.
Yeah, well, Eustace, you've known so many people in your career. It boggles the mind. But I think, of course, you're probably your most famous friend and associate is, of course, the late Ezra Pound. And, you know, we have a break coming up here in a few minutes, a minute or so. But when we come back, I'd like you to reflect on Ezra Pound, because a lot of our younger listeners, frankly, don't know who he is, and they need to know who he is, because what happened to Ezra Pound for speaking out can happen to anybody. So when we come back, Eustace, from this forthcoming break, let's talk about Ezra Pound and how you got to know him and how he led you into the thicket of the Federal Reserve System.
Oh, yes, indeed. I'm great.
Quite a story there. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, you're going to hear firsthand from Eustace Mullins the origins of the first big expose of the Federal Reserve System in America, the banker-controlled corruption that misrules the world.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Now, there's something that can give you the extra energy you need without the use of powerful stimulants and pills. Introducing the all-new Energy Enhancer Patch by LifeWay. This amazing new patch works with the electronic and magnetic features of the body, like a cellular radio, to transmit information from the patches into the body and enhance the production of energy and stamina. And the patch is non-transdermal, which means nothing actually enters your body. Insane! You simply apply the patch, and the Energy Enhancer does the rest. No more carrying around bottles, pills, or capsules. No more jitters from powerful stimulants. The LifeWave technology in the patches communicates with the body through the human magnetic field, untapping the energy within. Combined with a regular exercise program along with a healthy diet, the Energy Enhancer Patch may help give you the extra energy you need. So join the thousands who discovered the Energy Enhancer Patch by LifeWave and experience the energy within. To order your supply of the Energy Enhancer Patch, simply go to www.lifewave.com/HSA. Don't wait. Act now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper with a very special guest here on this program tonight. I've had the honor of knowing Eustace Mullins for, I guess, about... Well, I started to work for Liberty Lobby in 1980, and I first met him in 1980, so that makes it 26 years, and little did I know that 26 years after I first met him, I would have him on my own radio show, and lo and behold, I do. Anyway, Eustace, yep. You are a friend and protege of the late poet Ezra Pound, and it was Ezra Pound who first focused you in the direction of the Federal Reserve System, and it can be said very, very honestly and without qualification that if you had not written your book, the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, been reissued as Secrets of the Federal Reserve, but if you had not written that book, millions and millions of people would know nothing about the Federal Reserve System. So if you could, just give us a few minutes and talk about how you got onto the Federal Reserve through your association with Ezra Pound.
Well, I got onto it through Ezra Pound, and I, quite simply, when he asked me to go to the Library of Congress and see what I could find out about the Federal Reserve System, I had never heard of the Federal Reserve System.
Okay.
And so he had to pull a dollar bill out of his bathrobe at the lunatic asylum there, and... Show me a green greenback note with the Federal Reserve prominently on the top, which people, millions of people handle those bills every day, and they never see those signs, the Federal Reserve on the top, because they don't pay any attention to it.
Don't pay any attention to it, that's right. Mm-hmm.
But after my book, I told them about the Federal Reserve and the fact that it was not federal, it had no reserves because it printed all the money it wanted.
How many copies of the Federal Reserve book and its various incarnations have you yourself distributed, Eustace? Because I know a lot of people who have plagiarized your work, a lot of people have pirated your work, but how many copies do you know of yourself that are in circulation?
Well, about a million.
That's amazing.
Oh, yes. But there's 18 plagiarizations of it, and there's actually have been about 20 million books, copies of that book, distributed in this country since 1953 when I printed the first printing.
Well, you know, I can tell you, Eustace, whenever I went over to Malaysia this past year, I'd been over there once before, but I met a guy from somewhere in, I can't even remember where, one of the stands, as they call them, in Eastern Europe, Western Asia.
Oh, yeah.
A guy who's now living in Malaysia, and he was eager to talk to me, and after he was done telling me how much he liked my books, he said to me, he says, I have to ask you a question. He says, do you know Eustace Mullins? And when I told him that I knew Eustace Mullins, his face lit up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, that book has gone around the world. It's amazing.
Yeah, he was, he had read your book years and years ago, went through a great deal of trouble to get a copy of it, you know. And my friend Matthias Chang, who's the former political secretary to Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, who, of course, has been a big critic of the international banks, in his book, Future Fast Forward, he pays tribute to your work on the Federal Reserve System. And so, like I say, Eustace, what Ezra Pound gave birth to through pointing you in the direction of the Federal Reserve has reached millions and millions of people. And, you know, if you had never written, I can say this safely, if you had never written another word after your book on the Federal Reserve, you would be a legend. But you've written so many other books on other topics. You did The History of the Jews.
The New History of the Jews.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Mullins' New History of the Jews, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The Biological Jew.
Oh, yes.
Murder by Injection. A Writ for Martyrs. And I keep thinking, and of course, The World Order, but I keep thinking I'm missing one.
Well, Curse of Canaan was the real one. That was a demonology in world history.
That's right, Curse of Canaan. Okay, yeah.
Curse of Canaan's got a lot of terrific stuff in there.
Yeah, now, Eustace, where can people get your books? I mean, can you give out an address where people can write you, or what's the best way for those who don't have copies of your books to get the ones that are available?
Well, I have some available right here at my home in Stanton, Virginia. It's 126 Madison Place, Stanton, Virginia, 24401.
126 Madison Place.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And Stanton, Virginia is also, by coincidence, the birthplace of Woodrow Wilson, the traitor who betrayed us to the international bankers with the Federal Reserve System.
That's kind of ironic, you know.
It is quite ironic. Wilson's birthplace is about four blocks from where I'm talking to you on the phone right now. keeping his name alive.
That just goes to show you that that one place can bring out one good apple and at least one bad apple, too. So, that's for sure. All right, Eustace. Well, I tell you what, believe it or not, we're already swinging to our half-hour break here, and we've got four calls, including a couple people who've been on from the very beginning. So when we come back from the break, we'll let the listeners talk to Eustace Mullins.
Oh, that'll be very good.
All right, great. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned and listen to these commercials very carefully, because the people who advertise on this network help keep this network alive. Patronize the advertisers, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington with our very special guest, Eustace Mullins. I find it hard to believe that there'd be anybody out there among the listeners who didn't ever hear of Eustace Mullins or at least read something by him. And I can tell you that if you've ever read anything about the Federal Reserve System written in English or in maybe even any other language, chances are that if Eustace didn't write those words himself, somebody else relied heavily on the works of Eustace Mullins to write the words that you did read. So in any case, that having been said, we're going to go to our callers here, Eustace.
All right.
All right. We have John from Tennessee. John, come on up.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing tonight, John?
I'm doing great, man, even though the world's going to hell. I got in trouble yesterday. I made about 50 phone calls to people in my town, and I told them, within 5 minutes, I told them that there's a nuclear war going on in Iraq. And most of them listened, and everybody, you know, and I told them about RBN before it was over. And, and And I got a phone call at 9 o'clock at night. And they said what I was doing was illegal.
Well, you know, John, you know, we were just talking here with Eustace about the fact that the head of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, was doing everything he could to shut Eustace up. So if they go to the lengths they did to try to go after Eustace Mullins, who heads at least some public profile, what do you think the people in the New World Order forces and the Jewish organizations like the Anti-Defamation League are going to do? What do you think about that, Eustace?
Well, you know, a little Jewish printer on the Lower East Side printed the first printing of the Federal Reserve in 1953.
No kidding.
And I stopped by to see him one day, and he said, "Are you still walking around?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I thought you'd be in jail." He said, "You know, that book is criminal libel from beginning to end." And this was the printer. So I guess he was afraid he'd go to prison himself. But I was very surprised by that because I had never thought of libeling anybody.
That issue, one of the early printings of the book was actually officially burned by the German government, wasn't it?
Oh, 10,000 copies were burned by a communist spy in East Germany. And the poor guy that printed the book, put his life savings into it, was Guido Reiter, and he managed the Obergamerow passion play in Germany.
Okay, that's interesting.
And it wiped him out.
Well, you know, John, the best advice I can give you is just to watch your back there, because that's part of the problem. When you go out there and speak out and make your voice heard, it's the kind of thing that you kind of expect to happen. But, you know, Eustace made that decision a long, long time ago, and he's been through a lot, but he's still with us, thank God.
Well, you know, 24 hours a day, you guys are pointing at the Great Tribulation.
Well, you know, it's you know what I always say, it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. That's why.
And you know what? We're going to win this war, but we're going to have to suffer.
Well, I think Eustace is here to tell us that he's had members of his own family really suffered greatly as a consequence of what the FBI did to him and to them over the years. So you're talking to somebody, that is Eustace Mullins, who has had those experiences. Is that not right, Eustace?
Well, you know, the FBI terrorizes my family for years, and they used to go around and to my family members here in Stanton, Virginia, and they'd say, "I hope you've got a good picture of Eustace so you remember him, because you're not going to see him again for a long time."
You know, and they're the ones that talk about terrorism. I think that's terrorism of its worst sort.
That is terrorism. I'll tell you, my family was terrorized. Some of them are still afraid to talk to me.
Well, you know, again, this is all part and parcel of the effort to not just terrorize people, which they do terrorize people, but they demonize people. And,
demonize, yes.
That's exactly right. Well, John, I'm going to thank you for your call.
One more thing.
Well, go ahead. We have quite a few callers lined up here.
Okay, Jesus Christ is coming, and guess what this is all about? And there's people out there that got money, and they're not contributing a dime.
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier with H.L. Hunt. He certainly was in moral support of the Patriot Movement in America, but he didn't open up his bank account like he was often said to have opened it up. So that's why.
No, he never did, and I never resented that, because I understood why he was doing it. I lived in his home with his family for quite a long time.
Yeah, I understand he was actually himself. He was very, frugal, I guess. He was not really extravagant with the money that he did accumulate. So it's not like he was deliberately trying to bilk anybody. But groups like the Anti-Defamation League played him up as a way of making a lot of good patriots think that they didn't need to contribute to.
Oh, that's exactly right. With Hunt's money, they didn't need to. The Patriots didn't need to give any money.
Yeah, that's right. So that's exactly. That's it. Patriots said, "Well, H.L. Hunt's financing Eustace Mullins, or financing this organization or that organization." So therefore, they didn't open up their bank accounts. Well, John, your point is well taken. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, come on up. What do you have to say to Eustace Mullins?
Yeah, a few quick things. Mr. Mullins, first off, I'm a young person, and I respect your work. What I wanted to ask first was, you know, in this movement, there's a lot of allegations of everyone being anti-Semitic. I think we have to be careful of that. Are you against the Jewish people as a whole, or are you against Zionism and the religion?
Oh, I'm against Zionism. No, I'm not against Jewish people. When I went to New York City in 1948, I lived with Ben Friedman for months, and he fed me and everything. And the first person who publicly praised my Federal Reserve book in 1953 was Myron Fagan. And he was the most Jewish person that you could ever meet.
Yes, I've heard of them. And also, I was just wondering, you've pointed out, I think, that the Rockefellers, I guess, funded Hitler, right?
Oh, yes. And they funded the Federal Reserve System. The Rockefellers, well, they were an agent of the Rothschilds. See, the Rothschilds actually put up the money for the Standard Oil Company, because when John D. Rockefeller started the Standard Oil Company, which became the biggest monopoly in the world, he was a $10 a week bank clerk. Now, you don't start worldwide monopolies with a $10 bill.
Okay, well, what I was getting to was, you know, if Hitler was a tool, I heard that you wrote an article called Adolf Hitler in Appreciation. And
The ADL brings that up. It was one paragraph. What I did, I put a filler in a little paper once called Adolf Hitler and Appreciation, in which I said that Adolf Hitler actually worked against the evil forces in the world. And so they've reprinted that for 50 years to show what a terrible person I really am.
Okay, and that's what I wanted to ask. But one more thing. You know, as we're pound pretty well, is there any... I really like to read some of his work. What would you suggest I read?
Well, his greatest work is an epic poem called The Cantos.
Right.
And that's a big, thick book. That's in print. His books are in print in New Directions Press, New York City. And they can be obtained. In fact, you once in a while will find a little book of his, a slim book of poems, in a used bookstore, but it's not very often. They just don't like to put his name out where anybody can see it.
Right, and I was reading about Cantos, and I guess, I don't know if you know about this, but I've read that he had, I don't think the terminology is really correct, but there was an occult influence on his work. Not occult as in defining it as the capacity of the human soul to apprehend the truth directly.
Oh, there was one goofy woman who campaigned for years claiming I was a disciple of the devil because I knew Ezra Pound. And she traveled the country and held camp meetings denouncing me and Ezra Pound both as being members of the occult. Well, the story behind that was that when Ezra was a young man in England at the start of his career, he contributed articles to a New Age publication. It was called The New Age. And he was just a guest writer for them. And ever since then, this woman has said that he was a tool of occult forces, which he never knew any occult forces in his life.
What I meant, though, was he a spiritual person?
Was he a spiritualist?
Yeah.
Not really. He was more interested in the social credit movement. He was a great sponsor of the National Credit Movement, International Social Credit Movement, and he was one of the principal spokesmen for it, but he was more interested in money than spiritualism.
Okay, thank you. It's great to hear from a legend like yourself.
Okay.
Joe, thanks for your call. Always glad to hear young people. You know, Eustace, it used to be that I mentioned this at our American Free Press conference over Labor Day weekend. It used to be I'd go to those conferences, and I was the youngest person there, and now increasingly as I go to the conferences, I'm joining the oldsters.
Oh, yeah, but you get old before you know it.
That's the way it goes. Okay. All right, we have Mark from New York. Mark, come on up.
Hello.
How are you, Mark?
Very fine, Michael. I have a question for Eustace.
Go ahead.
The caller before was talking about Ezra Pound, and Ezra Pound certainly had some very famous pupils, you might say. I think T.S. Eliot, who was a Nobel laureate.
Oh, well, five of his proteges got the Nobel Prize for Literature. And
did
no
he
other
ever
person
talk to you about them?
Pardon?
Did he ever talk to you about Elliot?
Oh, yes, he talked about it. We talked about everything. I was with him 3 hours a day, and he did all the talking. I was a listener.
Have you ever written, you know, you are a tremendous font of information and wisdom, and you should write about your own life, not just...
Well, I'm working on my autobiography right now because I'm doing it out of respect to the people I've known. There's so many things that I can tell present generation about all of these people that I knew from a personal basis by knowing them. And now I want to get those that information out to everybody.
I'm surprised that there aren't people from English literature departments.
Oh, nobody with English
trying
literature
to knock down your door to get to interview you.
They won't touch me with a 10-foot pole. I've never been asked to speak to any group at any American university or even a school in the United States. And when Ezra was released from St. Elizabeth's, all charges dropped against him. He was released. And so he was waiting to go back to Italy for about 6 months.
Right.
And during that time, no American university invited him to speak. He was never interviewed, and there were no newspaper interviews or anything. It was like he was an untouchable. Nobody could mention his name.
You know, Mark, I was delinquent in not mentioning, and actually Eustace didn't mention it either, but Eustace actually wrote a book about his experiences with Ezra Pound. It's This Difficult Individual is the name of the book. And
is it available?
Well, that's the thing. Eustace, that book has been pretty much washed down the memory hole, hasn't it, by the...
Yeah, it's been out of print for quite a while because there was such a blackout. I wrote the book and published it in 1959, and no one reviewed the book, so...
Well, actually, you know, it did get a review that I have a copy of the book here in front of me, and it's a very interesting that it did get reviewed, but that it was still, they managed to suppress this book.
Oh, it's very suppressed.
Arnold Gingrich, writing in Esquire magazine, writes
this. The Gingrich review was very good. He wrote in Esquire magazine, and he was Jewish himself, but he wrote, this book is the closest thing to a book about Ezra Pound.
This book about Ezra Pound comes as close as any book can without being actually written by Ezra Pound.
Wow.
For its insight into the most difficult years of this difficult individual. Now, the fact, as Eustace pointed out here to you, Mark, the fact that that this book has been so suppressed, and the fact that people in these English departments and literature departments will not touch you. This just goes to show you how influential his other political work has been, that they don't even want to acknowledge this other, really, in some senses, non-political writing that he's done.
So it just seems to me as though when you have firsthand knowledge of a giant like Ezra Pound, if he's the person who sort of taught people like T.S. Eliot what to look for, And so many other scholars, and it just seems like it's absolutely absurd that they wouldn't be chasing Eustace down and say, please tell us these personal things that you knew.
Oh, you would think so. You'd think they'd be lined up to get these lectures, colleges, but I've never been asked to lecture at any American college.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely. It tells it all.
Well, if there's any way of getting a hold of that, you know, something with that book, I mean, if you just photocopy the pages and make them available on the internet, I'll pay for something. Eustace.
You know, that's what I was going to say. Maybe that's what needs to be done. Eustace. Maybe American Free Press, if the resources were there, could sponsor publication of a new edition of that book.
Well, it'd be welcomed all over the world.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's. I was lucky to get a copy of it myself from the estate of my late friend Lois Peterson. And,
oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, otherwise I wouldn't have a copy of the book. I have, and you know, I go to a lot of secondhand used bookstores, Eustace, all over the country, and you know, I've never seen a secondhand copy of the book in any bookstore anywhere. So that says a lot. They managed to suppress that book, so.
Oh, they certainly have. I did manage to pick up, I was lecturing in Pennsylvania at some small town, and I went to a bookstore, and there was one copy of This Difficult Individual, Ezra Pound, for $15, and I bought it on the spot. It had the original jacket and
everything. Jacket and everything. What do you know about that? Well, that's it. That's a book, then. That's a book for people to look for in the secondhand bookstores. I mean, it may be out there. Yeah.
They'll get lucky.
Well, you know, the thing is, in this short term, you know, I would say in immediate history, maybe you'll be overlooked. But, you know, as time passes, your knowledge is going to be very important to people. And
it's important to the memory of Ezra Pound. That's what I'm fighting for.
Not just that, your work, his work, the people that work, the insights, these things, they should be passed on for generations in the future.
Oh, it certainly should.
I just hope that happens somewhere along the line.
Well, I'm still working to make it happen, and I'm still
A lot of luck to you, and I hope you have many, many more years.
Well, thank you very much.
Mark, thanks for your call.
No problem. We're going to
the break now. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. A few more callers here have joined us. Want to speak to the one and only, the legendary Eustace Mullins. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Attention, if you're one of the millions of Americans who buy and trade stocks or invest in the real estate market, you'll want to hear this. Did you know that the Forex, foreign currency exchange market, trades over $2 trillion a day? That's more than the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ combined. Now, imagine being able to trade in the Forex without any prior trade experience or spending endless hours predicting market movements. Well, now you can. Introducing Freedom Rocks. Freedom Rocks' structured trading approach takes the guesswork out of what and when to buy by providing you a planned set of guidelines, all at a fraction of the cost of other similar type programs. And instead of focusing on thousands of stocks, Freedom Rocks focuses on the top four currency pairs. Our software tells you what to buy, how much to buy, and when to buy. Go to MySimpleForex.com. That's MySimple, the number 4, the letter X.com. And join the thousands who've discovered Freedom Rocks. Remember, MySimple, the number 4, the letter X.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you here in Washington, D.C., with Eustace Mullins, who is not real far away in Stanton, Virginia. It's a couple hours by train, but it's a real beautiful part of the country that's, I think, probably a lot cleaner and safer and less corrupt than Washington, D.C. Eustace, we've got quite a few callers lined up here. Can I twist your arm to stay on beyond the turn of the hour to take these calls?
Oh, yeah, I'll take the call.
All right, great. Well, we have Chris calling in from Chicago. I haven't heard from Chris, if it's the Chris I think it is, in a while. So welcome back, Chris.
It's good to be back, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah.
Very good. I have a couple of historical questions about Ezra Pound and another poet named George Sylvester Fierak, who was also
he was a great
jailed.
Yeah, Eustace, go ahead.
Okay. George Sylvester Fierak was the grandson of Kaiser Wilhelm I, and he represented German interests in this country in both world wars. And I used to tease him that he cost Germany victory in both world wars. And instead of being insulted, he seemed rather flattered by it. It was
That's
quite
exactly what I was going to ask about. And he had a homosexual relationship with a Jewish Zionist literateur named Ludwig
Lewison. Oh, Ludwig Lewison, yeah. That was, well, he was just a kid himself at that time. But Sylvester had a strange idea that to be a poet, you had to be homosexual, because Oscar Wilde was a very popular poet at that time and was homosexual. But this was just a misunderstanding of his. He actually was not really homosexual, but he had some homosexual tendencies. And he did have homosexual flings with three or four very prominent and very wealthy Jewish people in New York City. But this was long before I knew him.
Do you think he was secretly working for the Zionist cause the whole time?
Oh, never. No, indeed. He was pure German. He was a Hohenzollern.
Well, they actually sent him to jail, did they not, Eustace, if I'm not mistaken, during World War II. Wasn't he imprisoned as a...
He was imprisoned for 6 years, and he had a Jewish lawyer who filled out lots of registration papers as a German representative in the United States. And the Jewish lawyer put something on the wrong line, and they gave him 6 years and Leavenworth for that.
Yeah,
and when he came out, he was flat broke.
Was Pound going to write a book about the international Jewish bankers, and did you take over that project for him?
I more or less took it over. He really was going. He never wrote a book about it, but he did want to write a book. And they called me in Washington, they called me Ezra Pound's Revenge. Because I was his revenge for his imprisonment. And really, I think he rather relished that idea, because I did the things that he couldn't do because he was in prison.
Sigmund Freud tried to claim that anti-Semitism was a form of mental illness. Why?
Sigmund Freud was high on cocaine most of the time. In fact, cocaine is so popular in Hollywood today among the actors and producers because they're all followers of Sigmund Freud. They believe that by taking cocaine, they're worshiping at the feet of their master.
And one last question. What did you think and what did they think of Huey Long?
Oh, they liked Huey Long. Huey Long was a real American.
You think he could have saved us from the bankers?
He could have, yes. He understood the situation. He fought Standard Oil and the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. He fought them to a standstill in Louisiana because it was quite an oil refinery state. And that's the reason they killed him.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Chris, thanks for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're signing off for a few moments here, but we're going to come back to begin the second hour, and we're going to take your calls for Eustace Mullins. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. I know you want to talk to Eustace, so please feel free to call in before he has to turn in for the evening, like we all need to do.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.